The Lord be with you. Welcome as we gather to worship God together as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here. We have some folks who have been out of town, and we're glad that you're back. We have some who have moved away and are back visiting today. We're glad that you're here. We have others in our community who are guests in our service today, and we're glad that you're here as well. And we thank you for your presence. And we also have folks joining us by our live stream or by our radio broadcast, and we welcome you and thank you for your presence with us as we worship God together today. Let me call just a few things to your attention before we begin our worship. Next Sunday, we will have baptism, and we are looking forward to that as we baptize Snowlin and her grandmother Sandra, and we hope that you'll be able to be here to share in that very special time of worship. Today in our worship service, we are going to be ordaining Barton Torres as a deacon, and so we are looking forward to that as well. On the back of your bulletin, you'll see a number of opportunities coming up. We're collecting clothes for the Union Missions Clothing Drive. Please keep that in mind. Trunk or Treat will be next Sunday, October 29th at 5:30 p.m. We need folks to decorate your trunks and be here to welcome the kids who will be coming from our church and our community. Volunteers are needed for the trunks. Also, we need folks to bring chips or drinks. We're going to have pizza for everyone. And so please let Sarah Davis know if you can help with that. And then, of course, the big thing, the really big thing we have coming up, okay, here it is. Demi Semi Sept Centennial. Okay? I couldn't remember the word last Sunday, but that's what it is. Demi Semi Sept Centennial. And if you wonder what that means half of 700. Okay? So that's 175 years, and that's what we're going to celebrate on November the 12th. And we hope that you will be able to be here with us as we celebrate how God has worked through Murfreesboro Baptist Church for all these years and how He will continue to work in the coming years. Now, please note, due to the fact that this is a catered event, we do need for folks to RSVP if they're going to be staying for the lunch, and takeout plates will not be available for that as well. One other thing that I'd like to mention, Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. We have just a few up here, but there are also more in the library. We'd encourage you to take one or more of those and fill those and bring them back by November the 12th. That will be the collection week, and that way you can bless a child in another country and share Christ's love with him or her. We are glad that you are here, and now, as we worship God together, I invite you to join in singing Make Me a Servant. As we remain standing, would you please join me in the unison prayer printed in our order of worship for our invocation this morning? Let's pray together. O God, our Father, you sent your Son among us as the Word become flesh, who laid aside his glory for a season and took the form of a servant. When his disciples argued about who was the greatest, he reminded them that whoever would be great must be a servant, just as he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Help us now to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to serve one another in love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 344, Glorious is Thy Name. Children come for the children's sermon.
What's the word servant mean? Work God want us to do?
Share.
Not worship false gods.
Do what?
Not worship
false gods.
Be kind.
Read the Bible.
Be kind.
Anything else, Winslow?
Be respectful, be safe.
So we can do all those things and take care of other people, and that we can show that we're servants to God, right? So let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your son to us. We thank you that he became servant for us, and we in turn need to be servants for you. In your son's name, amen.
Our Old Testament lesson comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we come to our prayer time this morning, Pat Wilson Sawyer, T.K. Warren's cousin, is in the hospital in Charlotte. She is in grave condition with cancer, and we want to remember her this morning. We are grateful that Charlie Acock is doing better and able to be here this morning, and we're grateful for others that we have been praying for who are improving as well. Continue to remember those who are not able to be with us, because of health conditions or for other reasons, and lift them up in your prayers. And certainly we want to remember the situations in the Middle East and in Ukraine with all of the unrest and war there. So let's join together in prayer now. I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying together the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, we are amazed that you call us to this awesome privilege and responsibility of prayer. Because when we come before you, we come before you as the one who created this universe, the one who rules over all. We come before you in prayer because we believe that you can do something about our situations. We come before you, Lord, because you call us to come before you as your children, and that amazes us even more, Lord. The fact that we had rebelled against you, and yet from the very beginning, even from the foundations of the world, you had devised your great redemptive plan to send our Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, that the Word might become flesh and dwell among us, that through Him we might behold your glory. Through Him we might be redeemed as you gave Him, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. Father, we are grateful for all these blessings. We are grateful for how you worked your plan down through the ages, calling Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, working through Moses and Miriam and Aaron, working, Lord, through your people down through the ages. Even when they were disobedient, you were at work accomplishing your purpose. And then in time, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus. And how grateful we are, O Lord, that in Him we have life, and life that is abundant. We thank you, Father, that through His life His death on the cross and His resurrection, we can be right with You. We can be in fellowship with You. And we thank You for His promise to return in glory, to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness and set all things right in the new creation. And we thank You, Lord, that in this meantime, in this in-between time, that You have sent Your Holy Spirit so that through Your Spirit, Father and Son are present in our hearts and in our midst as Your people. We are grateful, Lord, for these great and precious realities and promises, and we thank You for them. And Lord, we thank You that You call us to make our requests known to You with our thanksgivings. And so we come now, lifting up those who are in need, especially, Father, those who are going through illness, for those, Father, like Pat, who are nearing the end of their journey, those, Father, who are recovering from illness, those who are dealing with chronic illness, those, Father, who may be facing uncertainty about their health, those, Lord, who, because of age or failing health, are not able to do what they used to do, are not able to be out and about, are not able to be here present with us in worship, we ask Your blessings and help for them, Father. Lord, we pray for the situation in our world with all of the violence and unrest and war that is taking place. We ask, Lord, that You would intervene and that You would bring peace and justice. Lord, we ask Your help for those who are suffering on all sides because of the wars that are raging. And we pray Your protection for innocent civilians, Lord, wherever they may be, that You would watch over and keep them in the midst of all that's going on. And Father, we pray for our country, for our state, for our county, for our town, and for our leaders at all levels, asking that You would give them wisdom and guidance and direction. And Lord, that You would help them always to do what is right. Lord, there are many other things that are on our hearts and minds. We think about the work of Your kingdom throughout the world and pray that You would move and that You would send a time of spiritual renewal within Your church and awakening in our land and indeed throughout the world. We thank You for the ways that You are working, even when we may not be able to see it, Lord. And we pray that You'll help us always to be sensitive to where You're working and to how You're leading and what You're calling us to be a part of, personally and corporately as Your church. Thank You, Father, for loving us. Thank You for everything that You do for us. Thank You for bringing us together as this local expression of the body of Christ known as Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We pray Your blessings, Lord, as we seek to be a light in our town, as we seek to minister out and to reach out to those who need You. Bless us now as we continue in our worship, Father. May Your name be honored and glorified in all that we do, and may Your church be built up and strengthened in Christ. We offer these prayers now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, who together with You and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. And we gather all these prayers now as Your people, and we lift them as with one voice in the words of that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us, praying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against You. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let's stand and sing our hymn of thanksgiving, Christ, You Call Us All to Service, number 649. Thank you. When we come to the time of giving our tithes and offerings to the Lord, it's not just giving in order to support a budget. It's not just giving because that's what we're supposed to do. When we come together and we offer our gifts to the Lord, we are participating in the work of God's kingdom in the world. And so as we give this morning, let us remember that we're sharing in God's work, God's kingdom, spreading the gospel throughout the earth. And so, Lord, as we offer these gifts to you, be pleased to accept them. Lord, may we give with glad and generous hearts, with excitement about participating in the work of your kingdom. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Be seated. Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've set you an example, that you also should do as I've done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 2 is our text this morning. Paul writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Kenchrea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, and help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many, and of myself as well. So Lord, as we look into your word briefly, open our minds and our hearts to hear what you'd say to us. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Every Lord's Day is special, but some are even more special than others, and today is one of those especially special Lord's Days, because we're going to ordain one of the members of our congregation as a deacon. The text that we just read from Romans 16 is easy to pass over. It's in the last chapter of a long and theologically deep and dense letter from the Apostle Paul, and it's mostly Paul's greetings to various leaders in the church at Rome. Now, many scholars think that the church in Rome consisted of several smaller congregations that met and then from time to time came together, congregations that met in homes throughout the city. It appears one met in Priscilla and Aquila's home in verses 3 through 5. Another included Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, and Hermas among its members. That's in verse 14. Another met with Philologus, Julian, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus in chapter 16, verse 15. And there may have been others as well. Well, as I said, it's easy just to skim over these verses without paying much attention. But before Paul started his greetings in verse 3, he did something very, very important. He made some significant comments about the woman who was carrying this letter for him to Rome. Phoebe was her name. He'd entrusted this letter to her to deliver it and probably read it to the Roman Christians and to try to answer any questions that they might have about what he was saying in it. Now he was commending her to them. In essence, he was sending a letter of recommendation within this overall letter that he was sending to the Romans. In his recommendation, Paul said several significant things about Phoebe. One of the ways that he did that was that, first of all, he referred to her as Phoebe, our sister. Phoebe, our sister. Now, the early Christians talked about the people of God as God's household or his family. They used other ways of speaking of each other as well, but that's one of the ways, one of the key ways. They were siblings. God is the Father, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, and those who have put their faith in Christ are God's adopted children on one hand, but then, as it's stated in John chapter 3, we are born from above on the other hand. But we are God's children. And as God's children, we're siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so Paul was first saying that Phoebe was a fellow believer within God's family, our sister. And since all followers of Christ everywhere are brothers and sisters, then he was the Roman Christian's sister as well as Paul's sister. The second thing that he said is that she was a deacon of the church at Kenchrea. Now, Kenchrea was a port city that was just south of Corinth, and it served trade over to Asia Minor and farther east. He says there that she was a deacon of the church at Kenchrea. Many translations render this description in the general sense that she was a servant of the church. And that's certain. She certainly was a servant of the church, but when Paul adds the phrase a servant of the church, or in Greek, a diaconess of the church at Kenchrea, well, I have to agree with many New Testament scholars and translators that this marks it as an official position, and that the proper translation of the word is that she was a deacon of the church at Kenchrea. In any case, what she did in that church was characterized by service. By service.
And from the third thing that Paul said about her, we see that she certainly had a servant's heart. And what was that third thing? He put it this way: for she has been a benefactor of many, and of myself as well. The word that's translated as benefactor carries the idea of helping people financially. And so Phoebe must have been a woman of some financial means, and the fact that she could travel from Corinth, where Paul had written this letter, all the way to Rome by herself would seem to indicate that she was fairly independent as well. So here she was, apparently an independent, wealthy woman, willing to be in a servant role of helping others, presumably financially, but also in other ways as well. And Paul included himself among those that she had helped. In a very real sense, Phoebe is a model deacon, an excellent example for all deacons, and especially for women who are serving as deacons. She shows us how a deacon must be an active and integral part of the family of faith, not only the local congregation, but the wider church as well. Someone who isn't actively involved in the life of a local church shouldn't be a deacon. It's just that simple. Her servant's heart shows the kind of heart a deacon must have. I suspect that she would have done the kinds of things that she did whether she were recognized as a deacon or not. We actually had a lady like that in one of the churches that we served years ago. That church did not ordain women as deacons. But Sarah Margaret, she was always doing something to serve somebody. And I often referred to her and thought of her as an unelected deacon. She had a servant's heart. In fact, I used this passage at her funeral when she died. You see, a deacon has to have a servant's heart. Not a ruler's heart, but a servant's heart. Willing to serve in whatever way is needed. As we read earlier in our service, Jesus showed how important this is in His kingdom. The night before His death, when at supper, when nobody had even offered a basin of water to wash their feet off before the supper, during the supper, Jesus got up, laid aside His outer garment, took a long towel, wrapped it around His waist, poured water in the basin, and then went and one by one washed His disciples' feet. And He said, "I'm giving you that as an example to serve one another." And finally, Phoebe shows us how deacons must be helpers. In her case, she helped people financially who needed it, but there are many other ways to help as well. Caring for those in need, ministering to those who are hurting, giving spiritual support and encouragement to those who are struggling, just being there when somebody has a need goes such a long way. And there are other ways as well. And so, deacons, here is a real life model for you. A model of being a servant of the church, where you're part of the family as you help those in need. And so to all of our deacons, may you serve Christ and His people well. Amen. We come now to a very special time in our service as we will ordain Barden as a deacon. And Barden, if you will go ahead and come forward over here. There's a litany that's printed in our order, actually on an insert in our order of worship. If you'll join with me in reading. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, And then, if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Those who've served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. And show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. We come now to set apart our sister Barden Murray Torres for the ministry of deacon in our church. And in doing so, we testify as a congregation that we've seen in her life spiritual gifts that suit her for such a ministry, and the character and the faith that qualify her for this task. We've prayerfully sought God's will in this matter, and now we affirm that within her call to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, God has now called her through the voice of our congregation to serve as a deacon among us. Baptist history teaches us that our early Baptist forebears in the 17th and 18th centuries saw the role of deacons in the name itself, diaconus, which literally means one who serves. Originally, it meant one who serves tables. And thus, deacons were to serve tables. First, the table of the Lord in communion. Then, the table of the pastor and his family to be sure their needs were cared for. And the table of the poor and needy, ministering to those who were in need. Later, the table of the church was added as the temporal needs of the congregations grew. But this description captures the very essence of being a deacon. Service. Service. Some of the responsibilities have shifted through the centuries, but deacons are still to be servants of the Lord and His church, ministering to needs and helping the pastor lead the church in its mission and ministry. And so we come now to set Barden apart for this ministry. This ordination confers no special status or power. Rather, it is a confirmation and a blessing. Our church's public affirmation that God has gifted and called her for this service at this time in her life and in the life of our church. In this ordination, we bestow on her our blessing in the Lord as she enters this sacred work. And so now, let us make sacred covenant promises to God and to one another. Barden, would you please rise? In accordance with God's leading, our church has chosen you for this service, and you've indicated your willingness to serve in this office. I charge you, therefore, to employ the gifts that the Holy Spirit has entrusted to you for this ministry for the common good of this church. You are to minister to those in need and seek to help lead this church in its purpose and mission to love God, follow Jesus, and serve others. You're to be blameless in your walk, generous in your heart, and faithful in your service, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. If you do these things, you will indeed serve well as a deacon. So do you pledge now in covenant with God and this body of believers that by God's grace, you will be faithful in doing these things? Thank you. You may be seated. Will all of our ordained deacons please stand? Our sister Barden Torres is about to enter this ministry of service as a deacon. As she begins her ministry of helping, I charge you all to help her by your prayers, your counsel, your guidance, and your encouragement. You're to be examples for her, friends to her, and fellow servants with her. You're to love and accept her as your sister, respect her as your colleague in this ministry, and share with her your mutual sorrows and joys. Do you each now pledge in covenant with God and with this new deacon that by God's grace you will be faithful in doing these things? If so, then please respond with, "The Lord is my helper, I do." Thank you. And now will all the members of our church please rise as you're able. We're the local expression of the body of Christ known as the Murfreesboro Baptist Church. As we now set apart our sister Barden for service as a deacon among us, I lay on us this charge. As distinct members of the body and as a congregation, we're to support her and her family with our prayers and encouragement. We're to strengthen her for ministry through our fellowship together and our partnership in the gospel. And we're to grant her the freedom to fulfill her ministry as a deacon by using our spiritual gifts faithfully for the common good of this church and the advancement of Christ's kingdom in our town, our county, and around the world. So do you each now pledge me in joining in covenant with God, with this new deacon, and with one another, that by God's grace we will be faithful in doing these things? If so, then reply, with the Lord as my helper, I do. With the Lord as my helper, I do. Thank you. So, Barden, now if you will come and kneel facing the congregation. After our ordination prayer, we'll ask all ordained persons to come by and join in the laying on of hands. And then after that, we're going to ask all the congregation to come by and offer a blessing on Barden. So let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, how grateful we are for your mercy and your grace that you give us in Christ. How grateful we are that your Son laid aside his glory and came to live among us, the Word become flesh, so that we might see you, that he came to serve, that he came to show us your love. Father, we pray now that as we ordain Barden, that your Spirit will be on her, that you will empower her to serve you well, and Lord, that you will work through her in a very special way in the life of our church. We thank you for her. We thank you for her family. We thank you, Lord, for what this church has meant to her and what she has meant to this church. And we pray now, Father, that you will anoint her, that you will use her, that you will bless her, and that as she serves in the name of Christ, she will be a blessing to many, and that you will use her in our church to help advance your kingdom in our town, in our county, in our world. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, for all that you will do. And we give you the honor and the glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, God bless you as you enter this ministry. May he use you in a very powerful way in our church and the work of his kingdom. Amen. Deacons, please come. Thank you. And she she's already been put to work because she's the secretary of the deacons this year. Barden, we look forward to serving with you. God bless you. As we've worshiped God together this morning, we've heard about serving God, trusting Him, following Him. This morning, as we sing our final hymn, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go," if there's a commitment that God's speaking to you about this morning that you need to come and share, we invite you to do that, especially if it's about following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's stand and sing together, number 491. So, Lord, for all that we've shared here today, we give you thanks for this new deacon, for speaking to our hearts, for being among us as we have worshiped you. We give you thanks. Help us, Lord, that our lives would always bring honor and glory to you, that our life together as your people will point others to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here today. And as you go, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.